Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Warriors Wrap-Up.
And Curry takes another three. It's up and good! He's got 62!
On 95.7, the game.
Pass to Wiseman off the pick, and he finds it for a dunk.
Jam!
Oh, by Oubre! He caught it right at the restricted area and slammed it home with a left hand.
Here's John Dickinson and Ryan Covey.
Wiggins will screen from Curry. Ball to Draymond. Curry still running. Catches, fires, and doesn't get it. Rebound dunked home by Wiggins. Flashed right down the lane and slammed it down with two hands. And Golden State now trailing by two.
Andrew Wiggins' return game. 18 first half points for Wiggs. He'd finish with 27, but the Warriors... They lose to Minnesota to tip off this four-game road trip, 126-114. Warriors actually jumped out to a 14-7 lead in this ballgame, Covey. Looked like they had the energy, at least initially, but it was all Minnesota for the rest of the first quarter. Dubs actually wound up trailing 35-25 at the end of the first, a 28-11 run for the Timberwolves. It was kind of an uphill climb, it felt like, all night for the Warriors, and they wind up losing this basketball game. They get kind of run out a little bit in the fourth quarter, 37-23. And the Warriors look gassed right now. It kind of looked that way on Tuesday night. I looked like a team that was fighting initially. Minnesota took it to them, and it looked like the Timberwolves just had a more spry, energetic, youthful squad.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looked like, JD. And, you know, the Warriors had their stretches tonight, right? They made their pushes, but they were in chase mode basically all night. And Minnesota had the answer. There was a couple chances for the Warriors to take the lead. They didn't do it. And, you know, I know things got tight in the fourth quarter, but they made more shots, Minnesota did. And it was the offensive rebounding. And that's where the energy level really was apparent to me, the difference between these two teams. Minnesota getting healthy. They're young, and they're playing their best basketball of the season here in the latter stages. The Warriors, it's been a war of attrition for them this year. They finally got over 500 again with that win on Sunday. But, you and I talked about this on the pregame, JD. This was kind of a red flag game for me. I thought the Warriors would have a hard time in this game, and they got worked on the glass tonight. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns and company, they just took care of business. Anthony Edwards, he's the real deal. So bench scoring, I thought, was a big deal in this game tonight as well. And Minnesota was just a better basketball team.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's Warriors Wrap-Up with JD and Covey here on 95.7 The Game. So the Timberwolves drop the Warriors now to 31-32. 9 games to go for the Dubs, 3 on the road. And the Warriors lose ground on San Antonio tonight. They lose ground on Memphis tonight, half game each. So the Warriors now a full game back of both the Spurs and the Grizzlies at the close of business. They also lose a half game on Portland, now 3.5 back of seventh. So the seventh seed is all but out of reach at this point with the loss tonight. 4 in the loss column, the Warriors trail. They don't have the tiebreaker, which means they have to make up 5 games in the last 9. So 7 is pretty much off the table. 6 was off the table with the loss to the Mavericks on Tuesday night. And at this point, Covey, you got to almost keep an eye on what the Pelicans are doing. They're up big in the fourth quarter in Oklahoma City, so they would pull within 3 of the Warriors. And at this point, look, 8 and 9 are still on the table, but the Pelicans, with three head-to-head matchups remaining against the Warriors, you know, if they can get that within two or three, they've still technically got a shot, and the Warriors are going to have to make sure they handle business, especially in those first two games, which are going to be a back-to-back set in New Orleans on Monday and Tuesday. But at this point, the Warriors just feel like a team that looks suddenly, after these last three games, really surviving against the Kings, getting blown out on Tuesday in this ball game tonight, like they're just searching for some oxygen right now, because they just look like a gassed basketball team to me.
Yeah, and those games in New Orleans, the Pelicans are going to be looking at that as their playoffs, right? That's going to be their play-in tournament to try and get into the play-in tournament to try and get into the playoffs. Like, that's what they've got on the line. So these games, they're coming quick for the Dubs, and you know, nobody's going to be throwing any pity parties for them right now. I mean, let's face it, the Warriors had their chances to win this game tonight. They just weren't able to do enough defensively. I mean, you know, the T-Wolves 20-41 from downtown. I mean, the Warriors didn't get out and contest shots, and it to me, the effort level was there tonight. I just think they tried to dig down deep to find it. There was just nothing there tonight. Like,
yeah,
the game against Dallas the other night, they didn't show up. They showed up tonight, and in a lot of ways, this is almost more discouraging, because you felt like they actually did put forth the requisite effort tonight. They just didn't have enough. And, you know, let's face it, you know, Minnesota, I know they're playing better lately, but Minnesota is quite literally one of the worst teams that the NBA has to offer by and large. And, you know, the fact that, you know, even if you show up and play hard, you're still not good enough to beat this team right now. Like, they need some reinforcements. Certainly no Kelly Oubre tonight, I thought, really hurt. I was concerned when I heard he wasn't going to play, because Kelly Oubre, that's one of the things he does. He pesters shooters out beyond the arc. He's a great on-ball defender. So they really missed his presence tonight. And, you know, look, you give Minnesota credit. They're playing good basketball right now. But I think this is a troubling trend for the Warriors. They could be leaking some oil at the worst possible time.
Yeah, and Minnesota's won 4 in a row, 5 of 6, and 6 of 8. They beat Utah a couple of times, and they are playing better basketball. And I'm with you. I think the effort was there, and I think you said it perfectly. They were digging, and they just didn't have it. You know, failure to box out, I think, tonight, a huge aspect of this game. You look at the extra field goal attempts, 9 extra field goal attempts in this ball game for the Timberwolves, an advantage on the offensive glass of 16-4 for the Timberwolves in this one. They out-rebound the Warriors overall 57-34 tonight. And Minnesota did hit the 23s, which you mentioned. And it was that kind of one of those nights where guys that don't typically make a lot of three-pointers did make three-pointers. Ricky Rubio going for 26 is something you probably don't account for. But they left him open, and he made him pay.
Yeah, and that's the deal. I mean, it's the classic Mark Jackson. It's a make or miss league. And, you know, I was curious. I was looking over Ricky Rubio's box score. You go back to early in the year. He played the entire month of January, no double figures. He only had one game in double figures until the middle of February. I mean, the guy just does. That was a season high for him, the 26. You know, typically he's not going to shoot like that. That was only the second time all year he's even gotten into the 20s. He's more of a traditional facilitating point guard. We know that about Ricky Rubio. But he knocked down 5 of his 3s tonight. In essence, I don't have a problem with that game plan. I mean, he was the guy you want taking a bunch of threes. Even Karl Anthony Towns, for that matter, you know, took 7 threes tonight. He made 3 of them. Hernan Gomez, we know he can shoot a little bit. He knocked his down tonight. So, you know, when they're going to hit 50% of their threes or right on that number, that team's going to be tough to beat, unless you do the same for the Warriors. And it's not like the Warriors had a bad night shooting threes. I mean, they made 15 to 38, but, you know, the 23s for Minnesota to 15 for the Dubs, that's a huge difference there, obviously. That's a 15-point swing there. You mentioned the offensive glass, the rebounding in general, the second chance points. And it's all the little things, too. Warriors trying to get out and bother three-point shooters. Lack of energy, can't do that. Boxing guys out, lack of energy, can't do that. Fighting for rebounds and loose balls. How many times did Minnesota just keep balls alive with little tips, and eventually they would get the rebound or have a second-chance opportunity? So it was just those, you know, this game was kind of decided in the margins for me, JD. And I know Steph had that really incredible run to end the third quarter. But, you know, for Steph's standards, it's funny, on a night where he scores 37 points, you're like, even Steph wasn't totally at his best. best. I mean, 6 of 17 from three-point range. So, unfortunately for Steph, if he's going to go 11 of 27 right now, unfortunately, this team's probably going to lose most games where that's the case, as shorthanded as they are right now, and that certainly happened tonight.
Yeah, and you look at Kent Bazemore comes back, but you wind up losing Kelly Oubre, and you don't have Damian Lee still, and it's basically, it's eight tonight. Like, it had been essentially eight for a while, but it basically, you know, it was eight tonight for the Dubs, and it's just not enough, to be perfectly honest. I mean, you look at Jordan Poole and Michael Mulder, who has to step up and play more minutes, obviously, with no Oubre and Damian Lee. And I think what we're seeing here over these last couple of games is how much the run that the Warriors were on previously, it took out of the players that had to play the bulk of these minutes. I mean, I think as time has gone on here and the rotation has forcibly been shortened, I think the Warriors thought they were kind of building towards something, right? Like, okay, you know, Lee and Bazemore were playing well. Oubre found his game coming off the bench, but then you lose Lee and Bazemore. Michael Mulder, goes into the starting lineup. He kind of does his thing. And then you lose Oubre again. So I think at this point, the Warriors probably thought that they were going to be able to roll at least 10 deep between now and the end of the season, and they just haven't had it. And it's made them vulnerable now against even the teams that are beneath them in the standings. And, you know, they've run into a couple of teams this week, talking about the Timberwolves and the Kings, young teams that aren't good teams, but still have some talent, and those two teams in particular in the West have skilled talent, like guys that can score, guys that can put the ball in the basket, guys that can shoot it, and on nights where you're just a little bit off your game, they can really make you pay if they're hot.
Yeah, and I mean, as many high picks as Minnesota's had over the years and all the deals that they've swung, they've got obviously a lot of high lottery picks on their team. Towns, Russell, obviously got the number one pick, and Edwards. You would think at some point this team would kind of start putting it together. And, you know, they made the coaching change, and I still think they're a ways away, but they can be dangerous. And, you know, a lot of times timing's a big factor. It's not who you play, it's when you play them. And look, let's face it, this is a tough time for the Warriors to be facing Minnesota, and this is a great time for Minnesota to be facing the Warriors, right? I mean, Warriors are, you know, a little beat down right now, a little road weary, and, you know, I know they've been playing a little bit at home, but just in general, I mean, they're shorthanded, they're gassed, and I still was okay with the effort because I didn't think it was a lack of competitive spirit. It was literally a lack of stamina tonight. And look, that's not going to go away tonight. Like, these guys all played a ton of minutes tonight, and, you know, rightfully so. They went after this game. Curry plays 37. Wiggy played 38. Draymond was a little foul trouble, but he ends up playing 36. I mean, they don't have a lot of options right now. And, you know, unfortunately, a guy like Jordan Poole is not giving them anything. I mean, Jordan Poole was a minus 18 in 16 minutes tonight. Jordan Poole was awful again. And that's a problem for the Warriors because when you're rolling eight men deep, I mean, you know, still no Pascal, and can't have Mannion and Smiley Geach playing minutes out there, and obviously Oubre being out and Damian Lee being out, they're stretched, no question. And it's not going away anytime soon. You hope that some reinforcements can get back in there. Hopefully you can get Oubre and Damian Lee back pretty quick here. And I don't know what the deal with Pascal is. I mean, this is just, you know, stretching on. Who knows if we're even going to see him again this year. So this is going to be how it goes for this team for the rest of the season. Just how much can Curry carry him, and how much defensive effort can they drum up on a nightly basis?
He's Ryan Covey. I'm John Dickinson. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Warriors lose to the Timberwolves, 126-114. We'll go ahead and pause here. We'll come back. We'll hear from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr. Again, time for your phone calls as we react to this one. Warriors dip back below under 500 at 31-32. Just 9 games to go for Golden State. And they look like a team that needs a little bit of a mini reset here over the course of the next couple of days. Still a favorable schedule ahead, but the Warriors in a position where it's got to be go time. Steve Kerr said that before the ball game, and then they come out and they lose to the team that's currently 14th in the Western Conference. Warriors not able to get the job done tonight. We'll discuss it all in more detail coming up next right here on 95.7 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced. Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, back to Warriors Wrap-Up with John Dickinson and Ryan Covey on 95.7 The Game.
888-957-9570. Timberwolves beat the Warriors 126-114. Warriors now 31-32, 9 games to go. They are still 10th in the Western Conference, so they have the final play-in slot, still trailing both San Antonio and Memphis now by full games for the 8th and 9th spots, respectively. Dubs next in action on Saturday in Houston. Let's get to Eric in Millbrae. Eric, you're up first here on Warriors Wrap Up. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, guys, what's up? I thought things would get a lot better after coming off that loss at home to the Mavs. Apparently not. I understand you can make all the excuses. You know, they're short right now, but still, that team out there should be able to beat a Timberwolves team who's really nothing to play for outside of the lottery pick. So I think that team should be 114 points should be good enough to beat these bomb defeaters like Minnesota. I don't want to hear about the roster, who's thin, they're worn out. Them's the breaks. At this point in time, a lot of teams are suffering injuries shorthanded. You got to go out there and perform. These are teams that should be layups for the Warriors. And right now, they're not getting it done. And Steve Kerr, man, I love Steve Kerr, but he's got to get these guys focused and motivated. Your playoff asses are on the line, and it seems like they're starting to sputter at the wrong time of the season. And you're not. It's not like you're playing these difficult teams. So if they lose to the Rockets, it's Saturday night. Then there's going to be full major meltdown mode because the Pelicans are coming on strong here. Luckily, you're only one game behind Memphis. I'm still going to hold on to they're going to at least get that eighth seed with the 6 games at home. But they're making me nervous right now, fellas. And that bench for Minnesota is a bunch of random guys lighting you up. So nothing going right. I expect you to get right on Saturday. If you can't beat the Rockets team who's playing for the number one pick, then I'm going to really be nervous because you're playing the Pelicans head-to-head a couple times. They can start catching you even though they're 3 games behind. I don't know, fellas. I'm starting to get a little nervous about them down the stretch here. This is crunch time. They should get it done these final 10 games. Better get started
right,
Saturday. Thanks for the talk.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Eric. It's got to start Saturday. The interesting thing about the bench, you look at the Warriors bench tonight. Jordan Poole, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Michael Mulder. The Timberwolves bench, D'Angelo Russell, Juancho Hernangómez, Naz Reid, you look at Jordan McLaughlin. You could make a case the Timberwolves have the better bench just based on D'Angelo Russell alone. Naz Reid's a nice play. Naz Reid, the Warriors would love to have Naz Reid coming off their bench right now, making three-pointers as a big.
It's not even a question. D'Angelo Russell. Like, that's all you have to say, and then keep it moving. I know D'Angelo Russell didn't have the greatest tenure as a Golden State Warrior, but my man could score. He didn't have a great night tonight, but, hey, their bench dropped 50 the other night in their win against Sac. So, no, the Warriors' bench right now is thin and not deep and not talented and not scoring. So it's a big problem right now.
They played three guys, and, Jordan Poole was in the G League 2 months ago. Okay, Juan Toscano-Anderson is Juan Toscano-Anderson, it's a great story, but, this guy wasn't in the league at the beginning of last year either, And Michael Mulder is, you know, coming into this year a fringe NBA player. Now, they've all had roles, and they've all done things for the Warriors at different times, and they're all in their own right nice stories. But we're not exactly talking about, you know, guys that are 6'7", 8" on a roster during, you know, with normal circumstances here.
Look, right now, the Golden State Warriors, the way that this roster is drawn up, 6, 7, 8, 9 are guys like Wiseman, Oubre, Pascal, Damian Lee. Like, that's your 6, 7, 8, 9 grouping. And then Mulder, JTA, Poole, that's 9, 10, 11, right? Or 10, 11, 12. I'm not great with numbers right now. But you know what I'm saying? Like, these guys are just miscast right now. The Warriors are basically missing, you know, 3, 4 pieces of their rotation. Like, that's a big deal. And sure, Steph Curry's out there, and so if you got Steph, you got a chance. You know, Andrew Wiggins had a terrific first half, wasn't great in the second half. Thought Wiggins was going to score 18 points in the first half and finish the game with 17. Think he might be the only guy I thought that would be able to do that. He ended up being, 27, whatever he got. But I just, they're not deep enough right now, and it really requires, like, if the Warriors were going to win tonight, Steph was going to need to score like 45 points straight up. And he ended up with 37. He had a couple of good runs. But even by Steph's standards, it was on 27 shots. Steph had to take 27 shots tonight. Not that he can't do it. He's not, you know, willing to do it. But at some point, it's just asking him to do way too much.
Yeah, he scored 37, but he shot 40%. So it wasn't efficient in how he did it. And, you know, right. It was about 30. You know, a little over 33% from 3-point range. It's just a different ball game for the Warriors in this one. Now, Steph did wrap up a hell of an April, which we'll talk about here coming up. But first, let's get to Paulo. Paulo is up next on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Paulo.
Hey, what's up with Gary Payton II? Did they not sign him to another 10-day contract?
They did not. Yeah, he practiced with the team yesterday, and he did not go on the trip because his 10 days were up, and so the Warriors declined to sign him. Now, they could still sign him at some point, but if they choose to sign him, it will have to be for the remainder of the season at that point. So he is no longer on the team as of right now.
Oh, my God. He's the most scrappiest player they got, and that's what they need right now.
Thanks, Paulo. Appreciate the call. They could have used an extra body tonight for sure, but the timing is the timing, and the Warriors, you know, at this point, you'd have to make a cut if you were gonna, if you're gonna look to add, you got to sign him for the rest of the year, is what I'm saying, and so you have to pay him for the rest of the year, and there's luxury tax on top of that you'd have to pay for the rest of the year. So they made the decision to not go that route right now.
Do we know what's going on with Eric Pascal? I mean, I'm not looking to Pascal to, you know, come
yes.
and be the savior, but could use a little help.
Yes. The latest on Pascal, I think, from either Tuesday or yesterday, was that he could be back toward the end of the trip. So I think Houston Saturday, actually at the earliest, although it sounds like New Orleans was more likely, one of the New Orleans games. So he was progressing to a point where he is going to return at some point, and they were sort of targeting the back end of the road trip.
Yeah, you can't roll 8 deep right now. And because you have to think about it along these lines, too. You've got 8 bodies, but you've got one guy in Kevon Looney who, let's face it, Kevon Looney, and I think Kevon Looney's been playing really solid basketball, and you know, but 2 rebounds tonight in 28 minutes for Kevon Looney. Like, that's just not going to cut it. Like, if Kevon Looney's down there in the block, and that's, I think, a product of him playing too much right now and starting to get a little bit worn down. He's not supposed to be playing 30 minutes, 28 minutes. Kevon Looney's supposed to be 15 to 18 minutes in a perfect world. And obviously, once James Wiseman went out, that kind of went out the window. Hopefully, Pascal can come back and they can get a little bit of speed and energy going with that small ball lineup again, provided that he can get up to speed rather quickly. But, I mean, you know, 28 minutes for Kevon Looney tonight, 2 rebounds? Like, really? Not going to cut it. And then Draymond, who, you know, spending plenty of time at the 5 as well, or, you know, just playing in that front court, 5 rebounds in 36 minutes? So your 2 bigs tonight combined for 7 rebounds in, what, 66 minutes of action, 64 minutes action combined? That you're not going to win a lot of basketball games when that happens.
No, you're not. Let's hear from Steve Kerr, because he addressed that in the post-game Zoom press conference. One of the big themes of this night, the Warriors get crushed on the glass. And here's what Steve Kerr had to say about the Warriors getting out-rebounded.
Obviously, we have a size disadvantage, but that doesn't account for the 16 offensive boards they had. I thought at least 7 or 8 times we didn't box out. Somebody came in from the weak side. We didn't hit them, and they got an extra possession out of it. And when that happens, it's almost impossible to win. They got 9 more field goal attempts and 9 more or 8 more free throws. So basically about 13 extra possessions, you know, coming from mostly the rebounding differential. And you can't win that way. So not disappointed in the effort, but I'm disappointed in the lack of attention to detail in terms of rebounding the ball.
Yeah, so interesting the way Steve Kerr kind of broke it down and, you know, failed box outs, just, you know, technique. And he went on in another answer to talk about how in the modern NBA, you know, guys don't box out, but basically you just have to find somebody and just kind of get in front of them and let somebody else go get the rebound. Like, it's not the true definition of a box out, but it is still put a body on a body and trying to account for somebody. And then you'll be in position to obviously get the rebound. And the Warriors didn't, I mean, they failed that task tonight.
Yeah, and I think Steve is also mindful of the fact that this team is a little bit fatigued right now and you know, just kind of down. And so he kind of hedged at the end there because he was talking about boxing out and picking up a body. And then he did at the end say, I wasn't disappointed in the effort. It's like, well, what if guys aren't picking up bodies and boxing out, isn't that basically all effort? Yeah, I know some of it is attention to detail, but I think he realized, oh, wait, maybe tonight's not the night to crush these guys. Like, they're already feeling down. And, you know, the game the other night against the Mavericks, that was the game to crush them. Tonight, it was just like, oh, man, like, this ain't good, fellas. But, you know, lick your wounds and rest up and let's get back at it on Saturday. Because say what you want, like, they still have everything to play for. And these games, you know, you got to beat Houston on Saturday, period, point blank. And he knows, I mean, those 3 games against the Pelicans, taking 2 out of 3, you're basically guaranteed to be a playoff team. Obviously, you take all 3, it's a wrap. You only win 1 out of 3 of those games against the Pelicans, you could leave the door open. And if you lose all 3, the Pelicans are going to be right up in your mix. So, but beating Houston Saturday, a team that's clearly in tank mode, who, by the way, Houston did win big tonight against the Bucks. So, they were up last time I checked. But regardless, yeah, they did. They ended up beating the Bucks tonight, 143-136. Jeez. But that's still got to be a winnable game or a gettable game on Saturday for the Warriors. No doubt about that.
Yeah, no Giannis in that one, but the Rockets got the win, and they haven't really been beating anybody of late. And some of that has been by design, as you mentioned. But they do get the win tonight in Houston, so they'll be feeling a little bit more confident than maybe they were the last time that the Warriors saw them a couple of weeks ago. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Let's get to who's hot and who's not. Sponsored by Exergen, who's hot, who's not, because accuracy matters here. And I wanted to get Steph Curry in here as far as who's hot for his April. Steph Curry in April winds up 96 for 206 from 3-point range. So 96 for 206, 46% from 3-point range. He breaks the record for the most threes in a month. It was 82. He winds up with 96. We were talking about, could he get to 100? Didn't quite make it to 100, but he did surpass the old record, which was held by James Harden, with a 96 three-point output in the month of April. Just incredible stuff from Steph, and he shot 46% in doing it. Harden, I think, shot 37% in his month where he hit 82. So I'm going to give the nod to Steph for the entire month of April, which now comes to a close for him and the Warriors, and another 37-point effort tonight. Just incredible, incredible stuff from number 30.
Yeah, 37.3 points per game in the month, which is just stupendous. As you mentioned, 47.6% from three, 52.7% from the field. I mean, Steph literally doing it everything. And let's not forget, too, like he's played through injury, right? I mean, he bumped the tailbone. He had the rump injury for, you know, several weeks here and then had the ankle injury as well. So there was a lot that Steph had to play through during this month. And so it just makes the production all the more incredible. And, hey, look, you know, it's funny. He ends up with with 96 for the month. If he would have made 100, that means he would have hit 10 tonight. 10 would have got the Warriors to overtime tonight. I know, not really, but you know what I'm saying. They end up losing by 12. So, 100 would have been special. But even 96, I don't think anybody's going to be touching that anytime soon, unless it is Steph or maybe Clay when he comes back next year.
Yeah, absolutely. And who's not? We'll give it to Jordan Poole tonight and just really more for the stretch. I mean, you mentioned the minus 18. Just 15 minutes for Jordan Poole tonight. I think, you know, for the Warriors to be as shorthanded as they were in this one and only play eight players, to have Jordan Poole wind up playing the 15 minutes, I mean, it's a little bit of an indicator right now that maybe Steve Kerr's losing a little bit of trust in him, that he basically is getting, you know, a couple of little shifts per game right now when he could be obviously more useful considering the fact that they're so shorthanded.
Yeah, and just look at the production for Jordan Poole, or lack thereof. I mean, you had the little nuggy nug that Steiny dropped on you as far as Poole shooting under 50% and what, like every 18 of his last 19 games.
20 of the last 21 now, if you count tonight. 20 of the last 21.
Yeah, there you go. And look, you look at what he did in the month of March, and I understand, you know, he had to start some games in there when Steph was out, but 18.5 points, and it was more of the production, you know, 40% from three, 49% from the floor. This month, 10.7 points a game, 31.8% from three, 34.6% overall. So the numbers have dipped. And, I mean, you look at some of these shooting totals. You know, Philly, 1-for-7. Sac, 1-for-5. Dallas, 3-of-14. Tonight, 2-of-6. He's just struggled, man. And, you know, if he's not scoring, like I said, JD, he's really not helping, because he doesn't facilitate the ball particularly well either. It's almost like, not only does he not know where he's supposed to be, it seems oftentimes, but he also doesn't really have a great awareness of where other people are as well. Like, when to give up the rock, like, you know, run that give and go. Like, there, it just seems to be really isocentric when Jordan Poole's out there. And, you know, Steve Kerr's offense isn't predicated on hero ball in those YOLO shots where he'll just pull up and take shots with, you know, 19 seconds left on the shot clock. Like, that's just so out of the flow of this offense. And, you know, when you're knocking down threes, okay, like, you know, you live with it. But, I mean, tonight and, you know, really the last month for Poole, it's looked really disjointed. And, you know, look, maybe better days lie ahead for Jordan. I think, you know, he hasn't always been playing with, you know, top quality players around him. And, you know, I don't know that you can play him and Steph for any pronounced amount of time, which that's a whole separate conversation as applies to his spot in the rotation next year. But either way, they really need him to score right now. I mean, just if Jordan Poole could have done anything tonight, scoring the basketball, that would have been a huge lift for this team. But I feel like you're right. I mean, Steve Kerr, he would have loved to have been able to play Poole 25 minutes tonight, but I don't think he felt like he could.
Let's hear a little bit from Stephen Curry following this one, as the Warriors lose to the T-Wolves 126-114. They get outscored 37-23 in the fourth quarter, and the Warriors now 31-32, 9 games to go on the season. Let's hear from Steph on the frustration level following this one.
It's frustrating. At the end of the day, you want to win basketball games. And we need to figure out what that is, practice film, put it together in games. We're not going to talk our way through it. So trying to give you as much as we can in terms of what's wrong. But at the end of the day, it's on us to figure that out if we want to make the season mean anything.
Another one of those nights, and understandably so, and there's been a bunch of them this year, although not as many the last couple of weeks because the Warriors have won 7 of their last 10 coming into tonight. But this was one of those nights where Steph just – it seemed like it was – this one ticked him off, I think, pretty clearly, that they weren't able to get a win against the Timberwolves, because regardless of, you know, we can sit like we did on Warriors Live and say, hey, the Timberwolves have some talent and they're actually playing better of late and this is going to be a tougher game than maybe most people think. But Steph knows, you know, if you're scanning around and you look at the score and you see, oh, damn, the Warriors got beat in Minnesota tonight, you're thinking that's kind of a dog loss for them. Like, what's going on there? I think Steph knows that, and I think he's right. Conscious of that, and I think, you know, when you lose and you play as poorly as they did, and it kind of goes the way that it did, where they were searching for something they didn't have, I think in some ways it's even more deflating.
Oh, no doubt. And sure, context matters around this. And look, no matter which way you slice it, it's a bad loss. Okay, I understand that. I saw Warriors fans on Twitter. We already took some calls. Like, I understand why Warriors fans are upset by this one. You can't go into Minnesota at this time of year and lose to the Timberwolves. And I can understand why Steph's pissed off about it. But, you know, you look at the reasons why, and I think, you know, we kind of felt like maybe this was a strong possibility coming into the game. And I said in the pregame, I felt like Minnesota was going to win tonight. Hope that was wrong, and don't trip. The good news is I usually am wrong with that kind of stuff, but this just felt like it was going to be a really tough game for the Warriors tonight based on all the factors at play coming in. And, you know, you give Minnesota credit. They executed, particularly down the stretch in crunch time. We've also seen that movie before, right, JD, where, you know, it's a close basketball game, 5 minutes to go, it's winning time. And, you know, they ended up pulling away. They had that, like, Globetrotter-esque pass where, you know, it ends up for a three-pointer for Rubio to kind of put the thing on ice, put them up 10. That's just kind of been the story of the Warriors this year, where they've been in some close games in the fourth quarter, particularly on the road, too. And they don't execute down the stretch, and they end up on the wrong side of it.
Yeah, nice fourth quarter for Anthony Edwards in this one, and a good
He's
game
a baller.
Overall. Yeah, he wound up with 25 points, and he's played a lot better since Chris Finch took over as a head coach. I know we talked about this a little bit a couple of nights ago and on the Final Word from time to time. Minnesota really has been, like he's doing a nice job, Chris Finch, coming over from Toronto mid-season off the Nick Nurse staff and being able to kind of get this team playing with a little bit of an edge. But Anthony Edwards has been one of the guys that really has looked the part more than he did initially. And I think part of that is, you know, growing into, you know, just getting more comfortable. And he had a big fourth quarter. Here's what Steve Kerr had to say tonight. Let's hear from the head coach about Rubio's game, but also Edwards.
Rubio getting 26 obviously is a surprise. You know, he's not that kind of scorer, but he's obviously capable, and he had a great game tonight. So I give him really a lot of credit. 6 assists, no turnovers. You know, his defense was great. So, you know, Rubio had a hell of a game, and then Edwards really kind of took over the fourth. So more than anything, I give them credit. But I told our team if we boxed out, we very easily could have won that game.
Yeah, it all comes back to the box now, but I want to hone in on right. on the Edwards part because and look, the Warriors, Edwards went number one. I think sometimes he kind of gets grouped in like oh man, Edwards, like what and sure, there but the Warriors couldn't have drafted Edwards. He did go number one overall. So I think, you know, at some point there's a little bit of a tone like, oh, the Warriors could have had that guy. But he looks like he's going to be a player. I mean, all of those guys are going to be linked and compared to each other. There's no doubt. But, you know, he's just got a real good NBA body, and he's strong, and he can get to the basket. He can score.
Yeah, he's just so smooth in transition. He's powerful. And, you know, he was a little raw, of course, coming in, as you would expect. A 19-year-old, not a lot of college experience. And last year was just such a crazy season in college basketball. And then you go into a team like Minnesota where, you know, expectations aren't high. But he is the future. And the crazy thing is Towns is still young enough where, you know, they're still hoping that they can build around Towns and Edwards, right? And you know, D'Angelo Russell, we'll see. They basically brought him in there because he's Towns' boy. And, you know, they wanted to play together, fine. But, you know, they even got Russell coming off the bench right now. But I mean, Edwards, he's the guy. He's number one overall pick. And sure, is he going to be LeBron James? Probably not. But, you know, if he can be a guy that can score in the, you know, low 20s on average, like if he can get that average the next year up to 22, 23 points per game, decent field goal percentage, he can shoot the three a little bit. He's certainly willing to shoot the three. Sky's the limit. I mean, he's the prototypical powerful three, you know, just a modern day wing. Every team's got to have a bunch of these guys. And sounds like Minnesota got themselves a good one.
Yeah, no, they definitely did, and obviously the Warriors have high expectations for what James Wiseman will be able to provide moving forward, but Anthony Edwards, he's a good one. He's a good one already, and he's only going to get better, and I think he's going to be a big-time scorer in the NBA for quite some time. So that'll do it for us as we'll pause here, and we'll come back, and we'll get into the Final Word, special edition of the Final Word tonight, as we're going to be going until 11 o'clock. There was this thing called the NFL Draft this evening. The San Francisco 49ers were on the clock, and they made their selection at number 3 overall, and they took Trey Lance.
Yes.
We'll let the people react to that coming up here at 888-957-9570. Brian Baldinger is going to join us at the top of the 9 o'clock hour as well. And we're going to keep this thing rolling. An extra hour, bonus hour of the final word here on NFL Draft Night. And that's all going to get kicked off here coming up next. As we'll be back with Warriors Live on Saturday, the Dubs and the Rockets, as that tip-off is at 4:30. So we'll be on at 3 o'clock for Warriors Live on that one. But the final word is coming up next, special NFL Draft edition right here on 95.7 The Game.